1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. I'm only going to read this one verse to get started. Let's all stand, please. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. Heavenly Father, help us tonight to realize we're in a war. We're in a war against Satan. We're in a war for the souls of all mankind. And we're in a war for the souls of our family and our loved ones. And just for everything about our lives, Lord, Satan would destroy us and would discourage us. Help us to love you and serve you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. That thou by them mightest war a good warfare. This is from Paul the aged, the one that had been through the battles, to his young son in the ministry, Timothy. War a good warfare. Paul knew what lay ahead for Timothy. And for those of us here, there have been people that prayed for us ahead because they knew what we'd be going through. We're going through some things right now that generations ago have not had to go through. I mean, all generations have gone through this. Israel went through it. But to see America going downhill like it is, it breaks your heart to see. And to be truthful with you, we are just downright backslidden. I've been reading, I've read through all the beginning of the Bible, and now I've read Joshua and just finished Judges. And we're no different than what Israel was. Israel would live for God, sin. God would bring judgment on them. They'd repent. They'd live for God. And it was a vicious circle around and around and around. Well, America had been blessed of God, and we're in that down cycle right now to where people, America as a whole, have turned their back on God. And unless we get people on their knees before Almighty God and confess our sin and seek His face and turn from our wicked ways, our country's down the tube. It may be the end time. Jesus may be planning on coming this year. He could come tonight before we finish this service. But we're to live every day as if He's not coming for 1,000 years. And we need to be at work in this. And all through all of Israel's time, and even here in America now, there's faithful people that are true to the Word of God. Churches like ours are becoming few and far between. Independent Baptist churches that used to, we would walk arm in arm, lockstep with them, serving God, no longer want their arms wrapped around us. They call us legalists, anything except Christian. And I dare say that most of them don't have much faith in the Word of God anymore. It's a religion of convenience. And we need to war a good warfare. God's called us into the war. We have had wars, First and Second World War, Vietnam War, the Afghan War, and all the other wars. And the Bible said in the end time there's going to be wars and going to be rumors of wars. And we sure got them going right now. But there's other wars that we've been in. Husband and wives have been in war. Amen. You ever been in war with your spouse? Children with parents, war. I mean, sometimes it's hell on earth, isn't it? What about us? Who said that, Tommy? Oh, okay. He's complaining about parents, I guess. Okay. It's us warring against God. Been there and done that. Oh, I wish I hadn't. I wish I'd kept myself pure and clean and holy 100% of the time, but I haven't. We're living in an evil, wicked world. That doesn't mean that we ought to condone doing things. We're just going to do them because it's our nature to do them. But God grants us the courage and the knowledge of what's wrong and to be able to confess it and forsake it and turn from it. Got to read my notes here. It should be us against Satan and all that is evil. I made some notes and they were crooked up here. I had to put them back together. But it should be us against Satan. We're in a battle, friends, and it's not going to get better as the Lord's coming is getting near. It's going to get worse. And I pray that we will have a national revival, a spiritual awakening like the great lightning and the spiritual revivals they had in past centuries. And it could happen. God is still the same God that He was then, that He is now. The same God that put up with Israel, and sometimes even with Israel, He told Moses, let me just come in and kill them all, and I'll start over with a new generation with you. And by the grace of God, Moses said, not so, Lord. Please don't do that. What would Egypt say if you brought all of us up here and then killed us all? What a heyday they would have. And God repented and allowed Israel to go on and brought them into the promised land. War, a good warfare. Number one, war with life's affairs. 2 Timothy 2:4. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. We need to do some enlisting tonight. And if you're not a soldier actively serving in the Lord's army tonight, I'm putting out the fleece. I'm putting out the call tonight. We need to surrender. We need to enlist in the Lord's army. Do not entangle yourself with the world. The truth of the matter is this. We are our own worst enemy in this life. Satan can only go so far. I mean, we've got the thing to stop him right here. The name of Jesus will put Satan in his place. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Amen? In this life, fighting with the flesh. And that's what we're enemies with. Our own desires. And we're in America. We've been so blessed materially. And it is a cause of our downfall. The body says act. But the heart says think. Now I'm an impulsive person. When I think of something, many times I forget to really get on my knees and pray about it. And I go whole hog. Whatever I decide to do, I want to go and I want to do it. And I just do it. And unfortunately, impulse can sometimes get you in trouble. The heart says, stop, stop, think, and pray. Most problems, heartaches, and disasters in our life come from impulse action. That's why we see advertisements on TV. Look at this, look at that, and go out and get it. And you gotta have it. I mean, it's a necessity. It's not a necessity. People live for 6,000 years without it. My TV, when our power went off 2 weeks ago, or whatever it was, it went off the night before I was leaving. I got back home, and I don't watch much TV, but I turned my big widescreen TV, and it won't come on. It blew it up. You know what I'm going to do? I was thinking about it. What should I do? What should I do? I didn't just impulse go out and buy a new TV. Some people encouraged me to, but I thought about it. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to cancel my cable. It's going to save me money. So stop and think. Now, I'm not telling you to go out and get rid of your TV, but shoot, no more than I watch it, I'm not going out and pay $500, $600, $700 for a new. I got it before the Colts. Connie was still alive. We got it when the Colts were in the Super Bowl. Probably not going to happen again, so I don't. So I don't need another TV. But impulse. I just gotta do it. No, you don't. Impulse actions not tempered and guided by biblical principles. And they're generally evil in nature. They're not guided by biblical principles and generally are evil in nature. And even if they're not evil, they're of little value. I bet if we went through our house, some of you have been in my house, and you see a lot in our house that's of little value to me. It's very valuable to Connie. That was her life, and so on. But what's all that going to amount to in eternity? How well your walls are decorated and everything. It's nice to have the paneling and everything as God gives it to us. But there are things far more important than the paneling and the woodwork and everything like that. And, you know, a lot of prayer went in this. And it's affordable, it's paid for as it's coming in, not going in debt to do it. So, war with life's affairs. Number two, warfare takes planning. 1 Corinthians 9:7. Who goeth to warfare any time at his own charges? Who planteth a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth the flock and eateth not the milk thereof? Who goes to warfare at any time at his own charge? What that means is, you stupid thing, you go out by yourself, you're going to get eaten alive. You go to war without an army behind you and you're facing the enemy out there, they're going to chew you up and spit you out. The Christian life is not que sera, sera. Now, most of you young guys don't even know what that is, do you? Que sera, sera. Who was the singer that sang that? The blondette? Huh?
Doris Day.
Doris Day sang it. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. And that's not the Christian life. We're in control of this life. We don't just let things come and go. We ought to have some goals and ambitions in our life. You know who the most successful person in the world is? The one who never sets any goals because he hits every one of them. I would much rather set 1,000 goals and only hit a handful than to sit back and say, well, I'm afraid I'm going to fall. I'm afraid I'm going to fail. Well, you're just flat afraid. You're not trusting in the Lord. God gives us His Word. We ought to set some goals and have some ambitions. Set up times and places. Time for church. Now, I'm talking to Wednesday night crowd, and you got time for church. And here Sunday morning and Sunday night. But a lot of Sunday morning crowd don't see a need to even come back Sunday night or Wednesday night. They haven't set very good goals, have they?
Right.
Work? Oh, I bet they don't just go to work whenever they feel like it and it's comfortable. No, they get up early in the morning and go to work and work hard because they determined to do it. Family ought to be important. Set some time for those of your parents with your kids. Build a relationship with your kids that'll be long-lasting. Set some goals for witnessing. How long has it been since you've tried to win anybody? Not win somebody, Lord, just trying. by passing out a tract, knocking on a door, saying, let me tell you about my Savior. How long has it been? Or have you ever done it? You're not going to do it by accident. They're not going to come and knock on your door and say, listen, could you tell me how to get saved? Who's this Jesus that you serve? Never had anybody do that to me, and I doubt that you're going to either. Set some times and goals, then pray over your goals and be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit as He gives you wisdom and direction. Number three, warfare takes weaponry. You don't go out to fight somebody bigger, stronger, and that's got more armor on them than you do. Now, our armor doesn't always have to be superior. Remember little David, 5 smooth stones and his sling. Giant had the helmet, all the stuff, big long sword, but he was no competition for little old David. 2 Corinthians 10:4, for our weapons of warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. In other words, our weapons are spiritual, and we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities and powers of the air and wickedness everywhere. In the lives of people, in the hearts of people, in our towns, in our cities, in our country. And you and I are the stopgap between what Satan wants to do to America and what we don't want him to do. And it's up to us to put up the hands and say, you can come here, but no farther. This is holy ground you're coming on, Satan. I'm God's child. I love him. I'm serving him. You may try and come in here and destroy my home, but you have no right. Get out of here. In the name of Jesus Christ, leave us alone. Now, does that mean he's going to tuck his tail and run and never come back? No, just as soon as you turn your back, he'll be right back there again. That's why you need wisdom and insight into God's word. So you know what's going on. Protect your family. Ephesians 6:10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We don't fight in our own strength. Our source of strength is God. God calls us. He empowers us. And if we're saved, we're God called. You never walk out this door and leave God behind you. You never leave Jesus Christ behind you. You're in the most holy conversation with someone, He's right there with you. Amen. You're in the evil, wicked conversation, and whether or not you're participating in it or just listening to it, the Lord Jesus Christ is a friend, sticketh closer than a brother. He never leaves you. Wherever you go, He's with you. You cannot get rid of Him, even if you wanted to. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. There's not anything that we should do that we can't do and that we're not able to do. Amen. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in verse 11, Ephesians 6. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Some God-proven armor, the Word of God. A sword sharper than any two-edged sword. Faith, without faith it's impossible to please God. Steadfastness, stand fast, quit you like men, act like men when it comes to spiritual things. Don't be a wimp in this. We're on the Lord's side. We're in the Lord's army. Amen? And we need to pray above all. pray. Luke 18:1, Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Paul said, was it in Philippians, pray without ceasing? Or was that in Thessalonians? They said, pray without ceasing. Do you know what? I'm 71 years old, and within the last couple of 3 years, I've learned what that means, pray without ceasing. Doesn't mean to be down your hands and knees 24/7. Means to be in a spirit of prayer and realize that every moment of every day, whether asleep or awake, whether with friends or by yourself, Jesus is there. He's in your conversation. That's prayer, and He ought always be part. The first thing I say in the morning now when I get up, thank you, Lord, for another day. I say good morning, Lord, now. Good morning. He's my best friend. Good morning. Thank Him for another day. And I ask Him for His blessings and His direction on my life. And constantly in prayer, I sit at my home, whether I'm watching TV, whether I'm driving, no matter where I'm at, my mental conversation is with Jesus and with God. That's what it means to pray without ceasing. Have that personal relationship with God inside you, speaking to you and you talking to Him. Verse 12 of Ephesians 6. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities of the air, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Recognize the enemy. You know why so many people fall and succumb to the wiles of the devil? Because they don't recognize what's going on. We're in an evil, wicked society. You need to know the devil like you know the back of your hand. He is our mortal enemy. If he could, he would take us alive and chew us up and spit us out. And if he could cast us into hellfire where he's ultimately going to go, he would want every one of us in here tonight to be his compadres. But I've got news for you. Ain't going to happen. By the blood of Jesus Christ, I know from whence I came, and I know where I'm going. Amen? Pray without ceasing. Verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Stand your ground, and do not give way to the devil. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. You resist the devil when you're tempted to do wrong, when you're tempted to look at wrong, when you're tempted to say wrong, you're tempted to argue with your parents, you're tempted to come down extremely too hard on your kids. Take a step back and say, God, help me. Where should I be going? How should I get where you want me to be? Stand fast in the things of God. Quit you like men. Act like men. And women, act like women. And be strong in the Lord. There's no reason for us to be weak. When we read so much in the Scripture how God just empowered people to do the absolutely unbelievable. And we're His children. Verse 15, and you're still in Ephesians 6, verse 15. And your feet shod with preparation of the gospel of peace. Walk right and with the right people. You walk with the wrong people, you're doing the wrong walk. You're walking contrary to God. Now, does that mean you got to just put, you know, we're not like monks or nuns are going in a monastery and say, okay, we're going to cut off. No, that's not what it means. I can be in the world, but not be of the world. Jesus prayed for me. And so can you. We've got to be in with unsaved people at work and various things to be able to witness to them and win them. But it doesn't mean we got to lock arms with them and walk in lockstep with them in their evil and wicked ways. You know what will happen when you're witnessing to other people? It's an encouragement to stay true. You know, it's pretty hard when you're witnessing to someone, say, oh, God loves you. Do you know Jesus died for you? And then you go around cussing. Or you get a bunch of other guys and go out drinking after work. Now, chances are if you're cussing, drinking, you're probably not witnessing. But if you're witnessing, might help you to break those habits. Talk to people about the Lord. Verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the devil. Overcome fear. And that's what it is. You know, we see people out and the Holy Spirit says, talk to them. Talk to them. And I don't care how long you've been saved. I've been saved preaching 50 years and I still have trouble sometimes when I know the Holy Spirit's urging me to do that, I'll justify in my mind to just turn and walk away. How many people will be in hell because of that? When the Holy Spirit said, go, and I refused to go. Judgment seat of Christ is not going to be all fun and games. I mean, it's better than going to hell. But we may see some people who went to hell because of our negligence. Remember in the Old Testament talked about the man to stand in the gap. And if he cries out to warn them, their blood's not required. But if he fails to blow the trumpet and the battle comes and they're killed, their blood will be required at his hand. I don't know exactly what that means. But I don't want blood on my hands. Blood of the unsaved. Witnessing will help you to keep your life straightened out. 17 and 18, take the helmet of salvation, sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Above all, praying. Prayer touches the heart of God. Matthew 7, verse 7, 8. Ask and ye shall receive, and seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. For he that asketh receiveth. He that knocketh or seeketh findeth. And he that knocketh, it'll be opened unto him. You want to win somebody? You never won anybody to the Lord? Pray this week that God, give me someone that I can witness to. I think I probably told you this illustration before. During the Civil War, or during the war between the states, a young man was in the Southern Army. They went out and charged in a battle, getting beat. They blew the retreat. All the army turned and went back to camp, except Jim. And they all got back to camp and they said, poor Jim, young man carrying just a squirrel rifle, didn't know the retreat sound, probably out there dead. And all of a sudden, coming through the woods, was a group of guys with Jim and his squirrel gun behind them, bringing them captive. They said, well, Jim, it's so good. Where did you get them? He said, man, the fields are full of them. Just go out and get you some. Well, that's the way of the world. They're out there. We need to go out and get some. Warfare sometimes comes from within. Warfare sometimes comes within. It's the devil, but it's not outside influence. It's just in ourselves. 2 Corinthians 10:3. For though we walk in the flesh and do not war after the flesh. James 4:1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? Fightings and lust must not be let in. Those things don't have to come in your life. Whatever comes in your life, it's because you open the door and say, come and get me. You open your heart and you say, Lord, come and get me and protect me. And those things will not come in. Guard or control what goes in so you know what will come out. Just ask a woman that's a cook or a baker. They know when they put all these little rinky-dink things in the bowl and mix them up, that's going to come out a nice cherry pie to go with that homemade ice cream. Because they know that what they put in, they know what's going to come out. And same thing with our lives. If we want it to come out right and proper, we better watch what goes in. Number four, the last thing. Warfare identifies potential disaster. 1 Peter 2:11, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul. Identify what you can handle and you cannot handle. We need to know what our limits are. Amen? If you have trouble like the alcoholic, he's not going to go down and eat dinner at the bar with his old buddies. He knows that's not going to be good for him. And whatever the case, most of us are not going to fight things like that. But there's things that keep us from being what we ought to be and from going where we ought to go and doing what we ought to do. Identify those things. Mark those things. Avoid places and things that you cannot handle. Why do Christians not go to nightclubs? Well, what's in nightclubs? Alcohol. What goes along with that? Adultery. Fornication. Movies. Is there anything wrong going with movies? A lot of people say no. Well, what's good about it? What's good about it? I just saw a thing on this new Disney movie that came out. The homosexual activity in it. And little kids' programs. Oh, it's only a Disney movie. Let the kids go and watch two guys kissing each other. Cartoon on TV. A Disney cartoon on TV. Two guys kissing each other. They are out to destroy our world and destroy America. They despise us as Christians. They're not trying to just entertain. They're trying to direct and influence people in their evil and ungodly way. Remember Sodom and Gomorrah in the Bible? 50 years ago when I read that, I couldn't understand it. It seemed so abstract. How could they come up and knock on the door and say, send those guys out to us? We're there. We're there. Avoid places where all that goes on. Pray earnestly for the power of the Holy Spirit. Pray for wisdom to identify potential problems in your life. That's a key to it. Because if you know what a problem might be, then you can run from it. You can seek control of it. You can seek the power of God to overcome it. Pray for knowledge on how to combat them. And pray for strength to avoid, but if necessary, how to overcome them or to walk through them. Remember Job. We think we ought to just have the life of ease and life of Riley and no complications. And I mean, God, I'm yours. Shouldn't I be able to just walk hither, thither, and yon? No, no. This word tells you where to walk, where not to walk, how to walk, how to think. You say, well, are you trying to control my mind? If I could, I would, but I can't. If the Holy Spirit gets hold of it, He'll have you. Therefore, let us war a good warfare. Right now is a good time to enlist in the Lord's army to be saved. If you're here tonight and you're not 100% sure that you're on your way to heaven, I dare say most people here are, but if you've got any doubt, if God's been dealing with you, you ought to come and see us tonight. Let someone take the Bible, God's Word, and get that settled. Time to be called. Enlist to be called to active duty. God is not looking for a reserve army. He's looking for an active army. Will you be it? Will you fight the good fight? Have a good warfare? I hope you will. Heavenly Father, thank you tonight for allowing me to preach. God, I pray. I pray for souls here, everyone, that they would have complete, utter confidence of their salvation. If there's any that do not tonight, Lord God, Holy Spirit, right now, prick their heart and cause them to want to come and find out. And Lord, I pray that we'd enlist some new soldiers tonight, maybe some that would come and say, I want to give my life full-time service. I want to be a preacher. I want to be a missionary. Many of the young people probably have already done that. God, have your way. There may be some young adults here. There may be some middle-aged. I just came from a place in Mississippi where most of the missionaries at that organization that I was at are retired people that are getting Bibles out to missionaries around the world. It's never too late to give your life to God. God help them. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.